You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 18th of February 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. It's the end of another week. It's Friday and you know what that means. It means that we have with us today my good friend, colleague and co-host of the Parish of the Patriots, Grandpa Dan, and I do believe he has some good news. Grandpa, how are you doing, sir?
Oh, all right. And the great news is that I am still alive, believe it. Much to the disappointment of the haters. Yeah, I'm still alive and kicking. We're still waiting for final reports. But everything we have so far in the preliminaries is looking good. I do have an infection going on right now, but I've got antibiotics. So trying to overcome that. But we got our fingers crossed that when everything's finalized, as far as all their studies and reports, we're hoping that everything comes out well. Everything's looking good so far, which, you know, it's good news. Maybe getting on the backside of that. And it's great to be back. It's great to be here with you on Friday, as always, Sven. I mean, it's always good. We always have a good time. It's extra good because, you know, one of the bad things in dealing with this, I can't drive. I can't get out. I have this drain tube hanging off of me. It's hideous. It's really gross. I'm stuck in the house. And one of the things that's been really tough to deal with is the boredom. I'm going to tell you what, I get so bored. I mean, I can read so much of the news. I can watch so much anime. And then I'm just, I can't anymore. So it's usually about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm just rattling around the house by myself. Sometimes maybe I did die. I think I'm a ghost. You know, I'm just haunting the house, wandering around bored to death, talking to myself because it's so boring. So yeah, it's an extra special treat for me to be able to sit down and talk to you and, you know, have this time with the listeners once again.
Well, I certainly do look forward to our Friday shows. And if you're rattling around the house, wondering of things to do, I mean, you could always record another podcast. Dr. Johnson is away for the next 2 weeks on his honeymoon. So we certainly do have the space there. But getting into the content for today, you've been concerned about your health recently, but there is something of far more concern that we really do need to be thinking about, and we certainly do need to have universities studying this sort of question, and that question is emojis of color. In 2015, 5 skin tone options became available for hand gesture emojis, in addition to the default Simpsons-like yellow. Choosing one can be a simple texting shortcut for some, but for others it opens a complex conversation about race and identity. And what could that be? Could that be confusion because none of us are actually yellow? Could it be because white people are using the darker racial emojis? Or could it simply be that you're a black person and there still are no black emojis? And I just cannot work out why there are no black emojis. They all look like various different casts of Indian to me. I just do not understand it. And now we have a university that are conducting a study into this. It must have cost lots of money. And what they're basically wanting to see is how these emojis have played out. What they've actually discovered is that people that use non-whites that actually use these emojis, they tend to pick emojis that are actually a lighter shade of non-white than they actually are themselves, which does sort of tend to imply that they're secret white supremacists who are trying to portray themselves as having white privilege when they haven't. But Grandpa, I've gone on too much about this with this intro. What are your thoughts on emojis of color?
Well, you've just raised a really interesting tie-in there. You know, makes me wonder if, you know, we have the white supremacists that all look like black people that keep going around doing the Asian hate crimes, which you notice that narrative just disappeared. You know, they pushed the anti-Asian hate crime narrative and then it just evaporated when everybody just couldn't help but to notice like all the video surveillance video of the perpetrators. The white supremacists happen to all look very dark. Yes, no, cancer and infections, these sort of health problems, they do truly pale in comparison to the complexities of what color of emojis you decide to use. I'm sitting here thinking, what kind of person lives in a world where it opens up a complex conversation about race and identity by what emojis you come up with? And I mean any kind of people. Who the hell worries about that? I mean, really, I can't imagine that black people go around worrying about that. I can't imagine. I'm talking run-of-the-mill people, not people getting paid a lot of money to sit here and do a quote-unquote study on this, because how much could you study on it? Not people that are getting incentives to come up with, let's say, garbage such as this. I mean, does anybody really think that any run-of-the-mill person of any race really cares about what of emoji? What kind of world, what kind of really just, you must not have any problems at all in a person must not have any problems at all in their life to come up with, this is a complex thing. We have to have a conversation about race and identity because I'm triggered because of what color of hand gesture emoji that you use. It truly is. I mean, the West has truly degenerated into clown world. We've said that for a while, but it's just demonstrated time and time again, every week right here on the Daily Nationalist Friday edition.
Well, I mean, who complains that a yellow emoji is not good enough because they are not yellow? Well, we have a sample of some of the people's thoughts about emojis here. I use the brown one that matches me, said Sarai Cole, an opera singer in Germany. I have some friends who use the brown ones too, but they are not brown themselves. This confuses me. Now, what could this be? What could be the reason why people who are not brown are using brown emojis? I mean, what this really implies is that the people that are using these emojis must have some kind of guilt about using a white emoji, and considering they themselves are not brown, that means they must be white, and they're feeling guilt about using a white emoji. So the very fact that she knows white people that are using these brown emojis, this just confirms that white people don't actually feel they have a privilege. White people feel guilt for being white. Cole is originally from California and identifies as black and an American descendant of slavery. She said that while she was not offended when a non-brown friend used a dark emoji, she would like to understand why. So she identifies as an American descendant of slavery. That is fundamental to her identity, in the same way that what sort of sex you like is fundamental to the identity of a homosexual. I think this is the first time I've heard somebody identify as an American descendant of slavery. I mean, an American descendant of slavery there, not a descendant of a mother and a father, but actually a descendant of slavery. This poor woman, Grandpa, you must have sympathy for this poor descendant of slavery here.
It is a really strange way to word that, isn't it? I mean, because we have this whole thing now where, you know, people identify as the other gender, or they're gender fluid, or they don't identify as any gender, and as their gender changes every day. And it kind of rings with that. I mean, it makes me wonder, well, is she really a descendant of slavery, or is she just kind of like saying she identifies as that, but there's no actual proof that she is? And then she says it confuses them. Yeah, who would even give this a second thought? I mean, I don't understand why somebody would even be sitting here going, oh, they texted me back. For starters, you know, there's nobody involved in this besides women, because really, I mean, yeah, men use emojis very sparingly, but I mean, it's just like a rare thing, you know, it seems like heavy emoji use seems to really be a predominantly female thing. So maybe this is where all of this, you know, it confuses her brain or something. I can't picture, like, if somebody sent me an emoji like with a black hand on it and they're not black, I wouldn't be sitting around going, I'm so confused by this. I really want to understand why they chose to do it. I would probably be like, lol, she hit the wrong thing. You know, I mean, it's just, maybe the person that received it, that responded with the dark skinned imagery, thought, you know, well, that was the polite thing to do. Like, maybe if you respond with a lighter colored emoji, then maybe that's racism. So to show solidarity, I will also reply with the dark skin. It's a hard road to navigate. It's a hard road to navigate of the political correctness, because you could always step on racism landmine at any moment, because, you know, this is how their conversations go. They do this weird roundabout stuff, and then the first person that can point and accuse the other person of racism wins. It seems to be the way the world on social media and such identifies. Who would want to text this person? Can you imagine thinking you were friends with somebody? And I'm friends with people, by the way, of all kinds of different races. I can't imagine being friends with anybody. Like, if I had a black friend, I wouldn't want to be like, oh, if I accidentally hit the wrong thing or respond and use this wrong color emoji, I'm going to have all of this drama over. I wouldn't want to be friends. Who would want a Texas person who's going to sit here and be featured in an article talking about how they're confused and they want to know why you use that one time you use the wrong color of emoji? Who even wants to be around people like that? I think the answer is no. Maybe it's a lie. Maybe she doesn't even have any friends. Maybe it's just like identifying as a descendant of slavery. Is it even true? Does she even have any friends? See, these are the hard-hitting questions that real journalists should be asking.
Well, I'm wondering whether her friends were just trying to be nice to her and polite, and thought, well, you're black, so we'll send you a black emoji instead of using a white one. I mean, that may be all that it is. But she says, I think it would be nice if it is their default, but if they're just using it with me or other brown people, I would want to look into that deeper and know why they are doing that. Well, clearly, if that's what the case is, then they're using it because you are brown. Therefore, they are using a brown emoji, thinking that you would appreciate that. I guess this is the problem that we face, isn't it? You just don't know whether you're doing the right thing or the wrong thing, or how to not get accused of racism. I mean, if they sent her a white emoji, she might accuse them of white supremacy or white privilege. If they send her a brown emoji, then she's wanting to know why that is. And I guess if you send a yellow one, then that really causes confusion. Jennifer Epperson from Houston identifies as black and said she changed her approach depending on who she was talking to. I used the default emoji, the yellow toned one, for professional settings, and then I used the dark brown emoji for friends and family, she said. I just don't have the emotional capacity to unpack race relations in the professional setting. So she's basically pretending to be white when she's being professional, and then she's just being her normal race when she's talking to her friends and family. I mean, that is a bizarre one, isn't it? Pretending to be white in the professional setting. What happens when somebody in that professional setting meets her and expects her to be white, or perhaps they expect her to be yellow? I'm surprised the Chinese haven't complained about this yellow emoji type, to be honest. Grandpa, what do you think of this, using the white one for professional settings and dark brown one for friends and family?
I think somebody's completely missed the point. If they're using emojis in a professional setting at all, I cannot imagine like having a back and forth with somebody in the context of a professional interaction. By professional, I assume that means like some sort of business interaction or your work. And you're doing a professional setting here. You're doing a professional interaction with somebody and they send you emojis. Who the hell does that? I mean, you've already thrown professional out the window, because if I was like back and forth texting somebody like with business and doing business, you know, and we're talking about business, and they respond with some kind of emoji gibberish, I mean, I'm just going to be like, well, this person is obviously unprofessional. I mean, who the hell even does that? So I think that kind of throws everything out the window. But yeah, I just can't believe. Well, you know, this is the hard life. This is the hard life that people that live in this world, because we as nationalists, you know, we have it tough. We've been banned off of virtually every social media, and we get accused all the time of being all sorts of phobes and isms and all that. And it's easy from where we stand to look at these other people and be like, man, they're allowed to have Twitter. They're allowed to have Facebook. They're allowed to do whatever, you know. And here we are. We're banned from everything. We got it rough, but we don't, because look at these people. Yeah, they're still on Twitter. Yeah, they're still on Facebook, but they live once again in this world to where you're constantly feel, they have to constantly feel as though they're always walking through a minefield, and one wrong step could set it off. And there's no forgiveness in these circles, whether you want to call it wokeism or whatever. There is no forgiveness. It's not like you can come back and say, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to be racist there. There's no do-overs. Once you step on the mine, they're going to blow your leg off and you're out of there. You're one of the evil. And we don't have to deal with that. You know, because you think about it, it's really kind of a relief, you know, that we just don't care. I mean, can you imagine sitting around and being worried and stressed out? Because if you're worried and concerned about these things, it is going to mean a certain level of stress. And I can't imagine living with any level of stress caused by being concerned about what color emoji I'm using or that other people are using. I can't even imagine that. So, yeah, they kind of have a hard life. You know, I don't feel sorry for them. But it is kind of a hard life when these are the sorts of things you have to go around and be concerned about.
Well, I do think we do actually have a professional capacity here where you might use emojis. Alexander Robertson, an emoji researcher at Google and PhD candidate involved in a 2018 study, said the emoji modifiers were used widely, but it was people with darker skin who used them in higher proportions and more often. And if you look at the study, you see that, yes, they use them in higher proportions, but they're not being honest with them. They always portray themselves as actually having a lighter shade of skin than they actually have. And I guess that ties in with the use of these whitening products that they have in India and Africa. It's a multi-billion dollar industry of trying to lighten your skin. I always feel sorry for mixed race children who look at these products and think, well, if you didn't marry somebody who was black, I wouldn't have to use these products, would I? And I wouldn't have to use these emojis that don't actually look like me. But when you look at the statistics, that's what it shows. It shows that people use lighter emoji colors than they actually are, although it is more popular to use these non-white emojis if you are on non-white. I think it was just so much easier before when it was just yellow. Nobody is yellow, so you just don't have to come to terms with all of these problems and questions in your mind when you use them, if you use them. After a look at Twitter data, Andrew McGill, then writer for The Atlantic, found that some white people may stick with the yellow emoji because they don't want to assert their privilege by adding a light-skinned emoji to a text or to take advantage of something that was created to represent diversity. But clearly they are taking advantage of something created to represent diversity if they are using a non-white emoji. And I guess what he's saying here is that they use the yellow one because they don't want to assert their privilege by a light-skinned one. Surely they are asserting their white privilege by using the yellow one, because the yellow one is what was there before, and the yellow one implies white people, apparently, because it was based on The Simpsons, and they do have non-whites in The Simpsons as well. So yellow is supposed to be shorthand for white people. So even using the yellow emoji is asserting privilege, I would have thought. But this Andrew McGill thinks otherwise. What do you make of this, Grandpa?
Well, I've got to stop everything here and correct you for your white privilege and your, you know, just coming from your white privilege standpoint when you made the statement talking about mixed race children and saying the children would sit there and wonder, you know, if you hadn't married a black person, because more than likely that's not going to be. Assuming there's a marriage taking place here, you're using a little bit of white privilege there, Sven, and yeah, got to walk that back. How the hell do you have a job? Can you imagine looking yourself in the mirror? Because, you know, I'm always, you know, I'm a very sympathetic for the working people, working class people now in the West are looked down upon. They're treated poorly. You know, the left used to claim to want to help the workers. Now they just mock and sneer at the working class people. There's no dishonor in having a job like riding the trash truck. So you're that guy, and your job is to ride the back of the trash truck and hook up the dumpster or pick up the cans and flip the cans in there. And you got people to sit around and look down on a man like that. But I'm going to tell you what, if that guy doesn't come pick up your trash, you're going to have garbage. Your front yard is going to look like a landfill. You got to have that guy. That guy is an indispensable part of your society, that he comes and picks your trash up. Do you want to know whose job is not an indispensable part of society? Emoji researcher at Google. How do you wake up in the morning, look yourself in the mirror and say, hey, I have an honorable profession? You go out and tell people, well, I'm a PhD candidate. And I've got a very important job. Really, what important job do you do in society? What do you do that contributes to society? I am an emoji researcher at Google. This is so absurd. This is the absurdity of clown world that we live in. I can't take anything serious from the West anymore. It's just, we're at this point. You have a job that is literally classified as emoji researcher. You have people that claim to be quote unquote journalists. And what are they doing? They're a writer for The Atlantic that find that, you know, there's actually a problem if white people use the yellow emoji. I mean, it's like, here's the world of white people in the West today. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you stick with yellow, that's going to be a problem. If you use white, that could be a problem. If you just say, okay, I'll throw in the towel. Everything black is good. Everything on TV, if it's black, it's a good thing. I'll use black. Oh, no, you can't do that because you're not actually black, then what the hell? Well, the best answer I can give you is to do like me and pretty much don't use emojis at all, which if you're a man, you pretty much shouldn't be, or at least use them very sparingly. You know, that should be your position. But the fact that there's people who get paid to be twisted up over absolute non-issues like this and have job of emoji researcher. This is a made-up world. These are not real people with real like jobs. Like if we have a financial, like if we have a war with Russia and like nuclear bombs wipe out 2/3 of the infrastructure, these people are going to starve to death in a week because they have no clue. They're like wandering through the nuclear desert wasteland. They stumble upon a car. They're not going to have any clue how to make the car run. They're not going to have any clue how to get to that, how to secure food, how to secure water, how to make shelter. They have no clue. They're an emoji researcher at Google. This is just an absolute sign of decadence. It's a sign of first world problems. You don't have real problems in your life when you sit around and get paid money to be an emoji researcher and write articles about how concerned you are with the inherent racism that could be shown in what sort of emojis that you use. It makes me just look for it. I'm just ready for this thing to implode some days. I mean, none of us want the unpleasantness of it. But honestly, it's so stupid. I'm just ready for the whole thing to implode so that people have these made up jobs can really face the reality once and for all of just how absolutely useless they are.
You know, you have to be pretty lucky, I think, if all you've got to worry about in the world is what sort of emoji you use. Zara Rahman, a researcher and writer in Berlin, argues that the skin tone emojis make white people confront their race, as people of color often have to do. For example, she had confusion when someone who is white used a brown emoji, so she asked some friends about it. One friend who is white told me that it was because he felt that white people were overrepresented in the space that he was using the emoji. So he wanted to kind of try and even the playing field, Rahman said. For me, it does signal a kind of lack of awareness of your white privilege in many ways. I mean, how does that signal a lack of awareness of it? Surely he is showing some awareness of it, and that's why he's using a brown emoji for her. And what is this about it makes white people confront their race, as people of color often have to do? I mean, do people of color have to decide what color they wish to represent themselves as to people? I think people can see that with their eyes themselves. I think it's quite different here. I'm not really quite sure what she's saying. Grandpa, maybe you can help me out. What do you think she's actually saying here about this?
It's just gibberish. My white friend, he was trying to explain to me, he was trying to even the playing field. No, all it's showing is he lacks testosterone, that he's even worried about that. If somebody texted me back and be like, why did you use this emoji? I would be like, lulz, you know, block or something. I mean, white people have to confront their whiteness on a daily basis as people of color do. Let me tell you what confronting your whiteness as a white person should be. Like, you wake up in the day and you get up and you go in there to shave and you look in the mirror. You probably A, don't think about it at all. And if you do think about it, it should be like, thank you, Lord, that I am white. And you know what? Somebody that's Asian should look in the mirror and say, thank you, Lord, that I am Asian. I'm Japanese, Chinese, Korean, whatever the hell. If somebody's black, they should look in the mirror and say, you know what? God created me this way. I'm black. I'm glad I'm black. What you confront your whiteness? What even the hell does that mean? Confront your white. You are who you are. What, you confront it? What, you supposed to, this is just an encouragement to self-loathing? What, you supposed to look in the mirror and be like, oh God, I'm horrible. Oh geez, why did I have to be white? That is so stupid. This like I say, the anti-white narrative has reached such levels of stupidity now that I can't even look at this. And we sit here and do the story, and I'm just mocking it because it is so utterly ridiculous. How do you act like this is a serious thing? This is the straws that they, if we had real racism, could you imagine? Like, we're supposed to have this really racist society, and like, okay, well, where's the proof of all this horrible racist hatred of the skin color? And the best they can come up with is, well, I was triggered by what emojis somebody used. This is their proof that we live in this horribly intrinsic, toxic, racist society. Here's their proof. We're doing studies and talking about how dare a white person use a dark colored emoji, a white emoji, or a yellow emoji. Just don't use them at all. I mean, that's the only answer, I guess.
Well, that just makes me wonder who it was that invented emojis. Well, of course, we do know it was white people that invented the computer that gave rise to the emoji. She also challenges the view that the yellow emoji, similar to the characters from The Simpsons, is neutral, because on that show, there were yellow people, there were brown people, and there were black people. Well, hang on a minute. There were also Jewish people, and they were coloured yellow as well. And yet, Jews tell us that they are not white. I mean, very, very recently they did this with the Whoopi Goldberg incident, where they said, we were not white. This is all about race. The Holocaust was all about race. So what they've really done here is they've de-racialized the Jews and they've turned them into yellow characters, just the same as everyone else on Simpsons. And I bet you weren't expecting me to come up with that one, Grandpa. What are your thoughts on the Simpsons connection here?
Hello, my fellow yellow people. Well, I'm trying to think of what, how would you make the Jewish emoji? What would that look like? I'm not going to step into the stereotypes that would have to be involved here. No, I mean, yeah, they're all yellow. They're all yellow on The Simpsons, but there's dark and they're brown. This is, I mean, again, we're down to breaking down race as depicted in a stupid cartoon TV show that's been on TV way the hell too long. I mean, this is really, like I said in my last little segment here, this is, they keep telling us over and over, well, white people are oppressing and being really mean to people who aren't white. The society is intrinsically racist. The reason that you don't have the success rates in non-whites as you do in white people is because of this racism. This is why we have unequal outcomes, because of racism and oppression. And at the end of the day, this is their proof. Now we're going to get into, you know, The Simpsons. And you see, this all plays into The Simpsons. You have this racist emoji thing. And see, we can tie that into, if we look at The Simpsons, you see, and the fact that there's different races on The Simpsons. So is yellow implied to be white? It just keeps going further and further down. It just spirals down. I think now I'm looking at this and I'm thinking the only emoji you should be using is the turd emoji there, you know, or just because this is just that much BS. It just keeps circling around the toilet and we just keep going further and further down as a society and as these stupid race discussions. It's pretty discouraging. They're always lecturing us about how we need to have a conversation and a discussion about race. And yet this is their idea. This is these people's idea of a conversation and a discussion about race, is we should talk about emojis and, you know, refer to the different races portrayed on The Simpsons. That's not a conversation. That's just stupidity.
I do like your Krusty the Clown voice. I have a suspicion that the reason why we don't have a Jewish emoji is the same reason why we don't have a black emoji. But getting back to the article here, she said there was a default in society to associate whiteness with being raceless. And the emojis gave white people an option to make their race explicit. I completely hear some people are just exhausted from having to do that. Many people of color have to do that every day and are confronted with race every day, Rahman said. But for many white people, they've been able to ignore it, whether that's subconsciously or consciously, their whole lives. Did you know that, Grandpa? You've been able to ignore race for your whole life. I would find it very difficult to ignore race, I think, because it's brought up on the television just about every 5 minutes. It's brought up in all these news articles. She's saying here that people are just exhausted from doing this. People of color are just exhausted from doing this. And we get something similar from looking at these emojis. So that must be just how bad it is to suffer from racism. You know, the confusion that you have, Grandpa, when you're trying to work out which emoji to use, that is similar to it. She's just told us here it's making race explicit to us, and it's forcing us to confront it in the same way that black people do as well. I feel so terribly sorry for them having to make this choice over which emoji to use. It must be terrible being oppressed in such a way. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on all of this today?
This is all elitism. Forget the color of the people. If you're getting paid to study this and you're getting featured in news articles and this is your worry, this is elitism. And the elitism part of it has nothing to do with race. This is elitism. And what I mean by that is basically they talk about, consciously and exhausted from having to do this and confronting your race. No, I'm not exhausted because I don't give a shit. I'm exhausted from the fact that if I turn on the TV, there's no white people ever. And if they are, it's always a white woman with a black man with this imaginary family. And they just take the black people and all these ads and have them do white people thing, which I think is very insulting to black people, by the way. And I mean that. I'm not just like ironically saying that. We feature all of these black people in commercials, and all they do is they put them in their sweaters and have them walk the dog on the hiking trail or sit in their house in suburbia, and they're just do white people things, and they just insert black people there and say, see, we have diversity. Black people living black people lives and their everyday lives as working people or whatever do not go around and worry about emojis. They're not going around worrying about this silly stuff. They don't. Nobody of any race goes around and worries about these things. This is an elitist thing. If you have a made up job like researcher of emojis at Google, you have a nice elitist position. The black guy driving the Amazon truck, he ain't sitting around worrying about what kind of emojis somebody's using. That is silly. And once again, it just highlights how out of touch these people are. And from our standpoint, we go, well, they're really out of touch with us. But they're out of touch with everybody. They're out of touch with white people. They're out of touch with black people. They're out of touch with brown people. They're out of touch with everybody. They're living in a world of their own. They're getting paid to do research about emojis. I guarantee you, any dock worker, white, black, or brown, they ain't worried about stuff like that. They got a lot more important things to worry about. And we're going to talk about privilege. Let me tell you, people that have these kind of made-up jobs, they're the ones that have the real privilege.
Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist. For you, God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.